Well, good morning. What a blessing it is to be here. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel in the third chapter. We're going to be going to several other places as well, but that's going to be the basis of our study this morning, and we're not going to spend much time, actually. I'm going to do what I do not often do. I'm going to use a verse and passage of Scripture and use that as a springboard into what I really want to talk about. And this morning we're going to be talking about the need to stand and not bow before the things of this world. And there are a lot of things in this world that pressure us to compromise our faith and to compromise, most importantly, the truth of God's Word. So we must refuse to bow, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow. But in this text, we're familiar with it, right? I mean, we know what the text says. In Daniel chapters 1, 3, and 6, actually there are three great examples and illustrations. The first two, chapter 1 and chapter 3, are illustrations of young men who stand against a king, the most powerful person in the world, refusing to obey his command in order to obey God. What a great example. They refused to yield. What gave these men the strength to do that? Well, it was first and foremost the knowledge of God and fear of him and his authority. And I'll say to you, secondly, they had trust in him. They had to have trusted in him, or else they would have yielded to Nebuchadnezzar. They had to believe in God with all their heart. They had to trust his word, his commandments, his law. They had to be willing to submit to him in all things. So they feared God. They hated sin, by the way. Daniel emphasized that very, he had purposed in his heart in Daniel 1 verse 8 that he would not defile himself by eating the king's meat. They hated sin. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made it very clear to King Nebuchadnezzar, to his face, we will not bow down to your idols. Not going to do it. They hated sin. Only God would they serve. They purposed. You're not going to please God and serve God without having that purpose in your heart. Nobody accidentally serves God. Can't do it. You've got to purpose that in your heart. And it is that purpose is going to be challenged, believe you me. You're going to be put to the test. But they had purposed in their heart, as Daniel 1 verse 8 says, that they would not defile themselves. They trusted God and his word beyond any question. So they stand as a great example and illustration of how we are to stand against the world today. This is June. And we have been reminded, if you've turned on your television, or if you've opened a newspaper, or if you've got on Facebook, or Twitter, or anything else, you know that this is what people are calling LGBTQ plus month, Pride Month. In celebration of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transvestite, queer, and whatever else you want to add on the end of it, that's what the plus stands for. To celebrate that lifestyle. To celebrate sin. And we are expected to bow to that, to accept that, to condone that, to approve of it, and support it. We live in a world where we are pressured to compromise when it comes to sinful things. This is not the only thing, for sure. But we are pressured to tolerate evil. We are pressured to accept wickedness. We are expected to even honor perversity, to hold it up and celebrate it, even to participate in it, if not actually being of one of those sexual orientation or gender orientations or whatever you want to say. We are to support it with our finances and with our words and actions. We are expected to condone false teaching and errors of all types. And we are expected to be silent when it comes to those things that we believe to be wrong. We are to put our hands over our mouth, our eyes, and our ears and pretend like these things are not wrong. We are to keep our faith to ourselves. Charles Darwin even had the philosophy. He made the statement. He said, "I'm not just opposed to keeping religion out of schools. I am not only opposed to having religion in schools, I'm also opposed to having religion in churches." People do not want the Bible to be taught anywhere. Not just in the school, in the churches either, or in your home. This world does not want you to raise your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. This world wants your children to be raised by the state. This world wants your children to be raised and be influenced by humanism and modernism. Keep your faith to yourself. They have that motto for a reason. They want faith to die. Now, we do live in a society where we are basically force-fed ungodliness. Turn on your television. Turn on your radio. What do you hear? Open your newspaper. Read a magazine. Turn on the internet. Go to Facebook, MySpace, YouTube, Twitter, whatever. Yes, and these things can be used for good. They can be. And many use them for good. But you are going to see ungodliness there. In fact, let me tell you this. Go to the mall. What do you see? All kinds of things. There's no telling what you'll see. We are force-fed ungodliness. And they flaunt it. And we are not permitted to say anything about it. We are canceled if we do. A lot of people get canceled these days. Canceled on social media. Canceled by the media. You're called out and you're shouted down. If you stand up for the truth and you speak out against sin, you are the bad guy. We are labeled. Now, here's the hypocrisy of it all. People who claim, "You can't judge me. You cannot say that what I'm doing is wrong. How dare you do that?" And then they turn around and they judge you. You are judgmental if you call out their sin. You are hateful. And by the way, when did it become hate to love somebody enough to tell them they're fixing to do something that's dangerous and deadly? When has that become hate? When is it hateful just to disagree with somebody? I think, and I see this a lot these days, People think that just because you disagree with them that you hate them. We have a society these days that has absolutely no skin. You talk about thick-skinned people, man, they tough, you know. You can talk about them, you can say something to them, and they retort right back, and we're tough, you know, we can take it. And if you can dish it out, you better be able to take it. That's what my mom always told me, picking on my sister or my brother. If you can dish it out, you better be able to take it. Get tough. Well, people are so thin-skinned these days. We are living in a day and time in which the people who know things and understand things and have common sense and have the ability to reason and desire to reason with other people are shut up, pushed out, because such things might hurt somebody else's feelings. And how dare we hurt somebody else's feelings? Now look, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I never intentionally do anything to hurt somebody else's feelings. But you know what? Sometimes truth hurts feelings. I've had my feelings hurt before, and I'm thankful for that. Hurt enough that I did a little introspection and thinking. It's good to have your feelings hurt, especially if you're wrong about something. So, what's the deal? To oppose that which is contrary to God's will and His way, as revealed in the Word of God, that in and of itself is an action of true love, not hate. Truth is something that people need. Truth will set them free, John 8:32. We need to understand that people are dying, they are lost in sin. But the people who are dying and lost in sin, they don't want to be saved. And they think that you hate them if you try. We live in an upside down world. Think and reason with me for a second. To inform people of what God has said about sin is not an action of hate, it is an action of love. I mean, think about this. You see a child playing with something that's deadly. I remember when I was a small child, one of my few real young memories. One of them was in a baby bed, and I had a nightmare. I was on my grandma's shoulders, and she went into this barn and Puff the Magic Dragon was there and tried to eat us. I remember that. I also remember being in my little red wagon on the carport and my mother coming out of the house and grabbing me out of that thing scared me to death. I didn't know what in the world was going on. Well, there was a copperhead under my wagon. Now, was that hateful for her to upset me like that and scare me to death? Was that mean of her to do that to me? No. She loved me. I was in danger. When did we start thinking as a society that to warn people about danger is hateful? It's absurd. I know it is. It's truly absurd. In Romans chapter 1, turn with me in your Bible over to Romans and the first chapter. In Romans chapter 1, I said we were going to start in Daniel 3, but actually I want to go back to Romans for a moment. There are a couple of things actually that I do want to talk about from Romans. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested to them, in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." Remember that statement, by the way. The things that are made. God made things in a certain order. He made them in a certain way. God's creation has a purpose. Keep that in your mind as we go through this. Being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory and the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over or up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, we're going to come back to this text a little later, but when people turn away from God and away from His will, God lets us go wherever we want to go and do whatever we want to do. And by doing that, what we do is we pull a veil over our own eyes and over our hearts. We blind ourselves to the truth of God's Word. And in fact, the Apostle Paul makes this point that they tried to conceal or cover up or hide the truth. There in verse 19, in verse 20, or I'm sorry, verse 18, what did they do? They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And that's exactly what's happening. To inform people about sin is a big no-no in our society today. But sin is deadly. Sin blinds. It destroys. To warn people of God's judgment, as verse 18 says, the wrath of God is coming. To warn them about this is not being hateful, but loving. Someone made a comment to me a couple of weeks ago, we need a whole lot more hellfire and brimstone sermons. Well, a lot of people do need them, but how many want them? Of course, that really doesn't matter whether they want them or not, right? But to warn people of God's judgment is an important aspect of preaching the gospel. People don't want it. It is coming. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But verse 9 makes a very important point. God is long-suffering. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be saved, but you're going to have to repent first. And that's what He wants you to do. But the impenitent, as Romans chapter 2 verses 5 through 11 says, the impenitent store up for themselves wrath against the day of wrath, the mighty judgment of God. To emphasize the eternal rather than the temporal is important. And what people seem to be focused on today is the temporal. They focus on being happy now. They want to be happy as they are. And that's the only way they can see themselves as being happy. And if they forfeit some desire that they want right now in order to gain something later, they see that as a price which they're not willing to pay. They want it now. They want to be happy now. But the truth of the matter is, and we all, by the way, have temptations. We all have trials. We all have things to overcome in our life, right? So we all, if you're going to heaven, you're giving up something that you probably want to do or you like to do at one time. You've got to give that up to get to heaven. Heaven, though, is the goal. We need to emphasize the eternal rather than the temporal. John 6:27. We need to labor for the food that does not perish. instead of the food that perishes. We need to lay up our treasures in heaven, not on the earth. We need to be sure we do not love this world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, these things are not of the Father, but of the world. John also, though, emphasizes in verse 17 of 1 John chapter 2, the things of this world are passing away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We need to emphasize that. We need to be diligent to show ourselves approved before God when that day of the Lord comes. 2 Peter 3, verses 9 through 14. It's true. Isaiah 5 and verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." See, people get things upside down, wrong side out. "Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Today in our world, doing good is called evil, and doing evil is called good. Let me tell you something about that. One of the things, if you just did a search on Google about Pride Month and look at the quotes and the memes and all that of Pride Month, you're going to see a lot of things on there about love. Aren't we free to love whom we choose? And love is never wrong. Love, 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 love. Love is a good thing. True love is. Love is God. God is love. But what they've done is they've taken the word love and they have applied it to something that is an abomination to God. And they call that love. Love, and we've associated love so united to the concept of sex. We tie those things together like, if you love somebody, you got to have sex with them. What? That's the way we think. That's what people think love is today, is sex. I should love everybody. Every single person should love my neighbor as myself. I should even love my enemies. I should love everybody. Now that's love. That's Bible love. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, and you can go whatever sexual sin. That's not love. None of those can be classified as love. Not literally, not actually. It's sin. But they've taken a great word and they've now attached it to their perversity. That's part of Satan's deception. We call evil good and good evil. We put darkness for light and light for darkness. We put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe! Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. They think that's smart. Isaiah 55 and verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord." Now this is what the Lord wants. This is God's love reaching out to a sinful world. Return to the Lord. He will have mercy on you. He will forgive you, pardon you. And to our God, He will abundantly pardon. And that's what I want for everyone who's living in sin. Every kind of sin. "For my thoughts," listen to God, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let me tell you something else that's very common today. People bring God down to their level, intellectually. And if they cannot understand something, if they cannot see something, or they do not agree with something, then, well, guess what? God can't be any different than they are in what they think. God's got to accept them as they are. God's got to accept their thoughts and their desires and their wills because, well, God made me. And we bring God down to our level and expect God to accept us as we will to be, as we desire to live, instead of recognizing God for who He is. We have indeed, as Paul said, become worshipers of the creature and not the Creator. Here are some principles. We cannot stand with God and with evil at the same time. Can't do it. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." I can't figure out what's good for me, what's best for me, what's right for me, apart from what God says. I ain't that smart. "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." In all your ways acknowledge Him. In other words, you recognize His will in all of your ways. You let Him govern your life, and He'll direct your paths. "Do not be wise in your own eyes." Don't think you know and you got it figured out by yourself, and that your right is right, or your way is true, without consulting with God first, because God's ways are right and God's ways are true, not yours. "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Proverbs 14, 12. "Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And my friend, listen, that is really what's lacking. A fear of the Lord. People have no regard, no respect for what God says. They don't want to know what God says. In Matthew 6 and verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have sin as your master on one hand and God as your master on the other. It can't work that way. You either submit to God and yield your will to Him 100%, or you're still under the control of Satan. In Psalms 97 and verse 10, "Standing with God requires standing against sin." Listen to what the psalmist said. "You who love the Lord, hate evil." Sin is to be hated. The effects of sin should be hated. And there's a reason. Because sin is destructive. Sin destroys you. And not only does it destroy you eternally, that certainly will happen if you do not repent, but it destroys your life now. You think you're happy, you wait a little while. Sin will ruin your life. "He preserves the souls of His saints and delivers them out of the hand of the wicked." That's what God will do to those who separate themselves from the world. That's what the idea of saint means. One who is separated, one who is consecrated to God and set apart from the world. "He preserves the souls of His saints and delivers them out of the hand of the wicked." Amos 5 and verse 14 says, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you as you have spoken. Hate evil, love good. Establish justice in the gate." By the way, justice is an important principle as well. And we should be and must be fair with everything and everyone. We must approach everything from the standard of what is right, what is true, and be just. Establish justice in the gate. You know, today we live in a time in which, very different from when I was in school, if I got a paddling at school, and I got some, but if I got a paddling at school, I got another one when I got home with a belt. And I got tore up. My mama would get me, and if it was bad enough, my daddy would get me too. And then I get grounded on top of that. Today, you get in trouble at school, and the principal calls your mom because they're not allowed to spank you. They call up your mom on the phone. She comes up there And guess who's in trouble? Not the kid who's in trouble, who broke the rules, but the teacher and the principal and anybody else who was involved in finding and accusing her of doing something wrong. They're the ones who are in trouble by the mom. Where is justice in that? There's not. You see, we can't be partial in our judgments. People are partial to their kids. And I understand the temptation to do that, but we must be just. If they did wrong, they need to be punished for that wrong. Hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. That needs to be applied not just, of course, with parents and children. Across the board. We need to do what's right and fair with one another. It may be that the Lord of God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. In Psalm 34 and verse 11, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and keep your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Peace is something that we all should want. I want to live peacefully with my neighbors. I want to live peacefully with everybody who's within the sound of my voice this morning. I want to live peaceably, most importantly, with my God. I want to be at peace with God, because it is only being at peace with Him that I can have any hope. I must be at peace with my God first. And everyone, though, who is at war with God, if I am at peace with God, my position and condition is being challenged by the enemies of God. And therefore, they have made themselves, as James 4, by the way, makes the point, those who love the world have made themselves enemies of God. And they are thus enemies of the church, the people of God. They're enemies of all that is right. I must seek peace, but peace must be based upon God first, the truth that He's revealed, and doing what's right. If you want to have a good life, they want. The way to peace is serving the Lord. Romans 12 and verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." You know what? You can be the person of love that you ought to be and hate evil at the same time. And we must. If we love as we ought to love, we will hate evil. Ephesians 5, 8 through 13, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Don't have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, and expose them. "It is shameful to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." You know, it is. It is shameful. Now, back to Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, listen to what they said when they were commanded to bow down before that golden image. If they didn't bow down, they were going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. "O Nebuchadnezzar," here's their response, "we have no need to answer you in this matter." In other words, They didn't need to. Nebuchadnezzar should have known where they stood, because they'd been standing there the whole time. They'd been faithful to God the whole time. "We don't need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve," that is, we're going to be thrown into that fiery furnace. If you're going to do what you say you're going to do, if that is the case, "our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not," if He doesn't deliver us from that fiery furnace, "let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Not going to do it. "Let it be known." Brethren, we need to take a stand. and stop bowing to the things of this world, the political pressures, the media pressures, to comply with their standards, not God's, but their standards. Notice in Acts 4 and verse 18. So they called them and commanded them. This is Peter and John before the council, before the Sanhedrin court. They had been accused of false teaching, of heresy. And they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. They were bold. They're not going to back down. They're going to teach the things of the Lord. And the government of that time couldn't stop them. Just like Nebuchadnezzar couldn't stop Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for standing with God. In Acts 5 and verse 28, the next chapter, now all 12 of the apostles are brought in before the council. They're all arrested this time. And they're again commanded not to speak anymore. In fact, verse 28 says, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. We told you not to do it. But what did they do instead? That's what we need to be doing. You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Isn't that something? Those people who said, as Jesus was hanging on the cross, and Pilate said, you know, wanted to release Jesus to them. He gave them an option, Jesus or Barabbas, and they chose Barabbas to be released. And Pilate said, well, what will I do with Jesus? And they said, crucify him. But I found nothing wrong with the man. Crucify him. Let his blood be on us and our children. And you know what? Here they are now. You try to bring this blood on us. Doesn't work that way. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And we better. We must obey God rather than let God be the final say. As Paul said in Romans chapter 3, let God be true and every man a liar. 1 Peter 4 and verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh. That's the one who has given himself to Christ, who has died to sin. Not to live anymore in the flesh and the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Yes, we may seem odd, especially in a world that has become as corrupt as ours. That's okay. We're all going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account. We must stand for God and opposed to all immorality. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. You've got a list of things. This is not an exclusive list, but it is all these things. Listen, those who practice these things will not go to heaven. We need to know that and understand that. Those who practice these things. Now, here's an interesting point. Verse 11 is not on the chart, but Paul said, such were some of you, but you've been sanctified, you've been justified, you've been washed. They had been cleansed by the blood of Christ, and they had repented, turned away from these things. But those who practice these things, and they do not repent of these things, they are not going to heaven. God said that, and if God is true, let every man be a liar. Anybody who says, no, homosexuals are going to heaven. No, they're not. Not according to God. Neither are fornicators, those who engage in premarital sex or any other sexual perversity, or idolaters, those who put anything above God, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. None of these people will go to heaven. We must stand for the truth. Galatians 5:19, we have another list. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. A bunch of attitudes mixed in there in this list. You're not going to heaven if you commit sin against God and continue in that sin. Don't try to justify yourself in what you're doing that's wrong. Verse 28 of Romans chapter 1 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness." They are whispers. All these things are wrong and will keep you out of heaven. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. All these sins. In fact, you know what? Many sinful practices have many of these things mixed in with them. Now, we need to know the righteous judgment of God is coming there in verse 32. That those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Can I approve of sinful practices? Can I condone it, support it, defend it? Because if I do, then I'm putting myself in the same boat they are in. And I'll be with them in eternity. How can people expect me to forfeit my soul to condone, support, to engage in sin with them? I can't do that. Instead, I should expose them. Not because I hate them. Not because I want them to be lost. Just the opposite. I want them to be saved. Because I love them. It's shameful to speak of the things that they do. The light sheds the truth about those things. We need to be people who want to help them. Now I know most people who are blinded in their sin and they are devoted to their sin, they're not going to listen. But we might save some. And if we could just save one, the angels in heaven would rejoice. Galatians 2 and verse 5 says, "To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." We cannot allow false teaching, error, lies to be continually perpetuated. False teachers in the religious world. And you know what? Let me just say this. We've got a world filled with ungodly people, and we see the religious world in the condition that it's in, and we still have people trying to defend the concept of denominationalism, trying to defend division within those who profess to be Christians, and holding to false teachings that are contrary to the Scripture, and arguing about those things, and then they want to deny any culpability for the condition of the world. Jesus, when He prayed in John 17, verses 20 and 21, He prayed that those who receive the words of His apostles would be one as He and His Father are one. He prayed that so that the world may believe that God had sent Him. division and the condition of the religious world today is the reason why this world is going the way that it is. People are unbelievers because they see the division and they are confused by all of it. That's why we must contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Error has consequences. We're to preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. That is when they want it, when they don't. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Be patient, but we must continue to convince. We must continue to rebuke. We must continue to exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ have a responsibility to stand for the truth. And I've said many times, in fact, I've been saying this for years and years, the day is coming in this country when a preacher preaches a sermon against homosexuality, he could face jail time. I believe that day's coming. You know what? I just tried to think about what I was going to put in the title for this lesson and what I was going to put in YouTube and Facebook on the feeds there. And I knew that if I put anything regarding homosexuality or Pride Month, it would get flagged, it would get examined, and it would probably get banned, get canceled. But I must preach the truth, regardless of whether people want it or not, regardless of the consequences. We must always stand for the truth. We must stand for the truth regarding the Scriptures. We must stand for the truth regarding salvation in Christ. We must stand for the truth regarding the plan of salvation, regarding what the Bible teaches about morality. We must stand for the truth in every aspect. The errors of denominationalism, what constitutes true religion, what constitutes true worship, and what constitutes the organization and worship of the church, the second coming, all these things. Bow to Jesus. What kind of world would it be if everybody did that? They bowed to Jesus and not Satan. If we would only bow to Jesus, serve Him, what a wonderful world it would be. Just think of the true love that would exist. Think of the peace that would rule on the earth. That's what it's going to be in heaven, by the way, because you're going to have heaven filled with people who love the Lord and who served Him and are faithful. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you can have an opportunity this morning to act upon that faith, submit to His authority, render to Him your will, repent of your sin, turn to Him as Lord, allow Him to govern your heart and life, surrender by being baptized in His name for the remission of your sins, be raised to walk in newness of life, and live your life for Jesus. Now, that's going to cause you some problems in this world. I'm not trying to hide that fact. You will have trouble. But heaven's worth every minute and every pain and every sacrifice you have to make. Think eternally, not temporally. If you're a Christian and you're guilty of compromising and bowing to this world and allowing this world to mold your thinking, we need to listen to what Paul said in Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. We need to render ourselves as a living sacrifice, giving our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we can help you in this morning in any way, please come while we stand.